Welcome back to Let God Podcast. You're here with me, Ayafa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, Wanipa.
You know that's right.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking all things friendship, forgiveness, loving your enemies, loving those who wish you death, and just dealing with like friendship upsets or just like being around people who you don't necessarily get on with the best. But before we get into that juicy discussion, as always, we're gonna pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight and this opportunity that we get to talk about friendships and dealing with conflict. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would guide this conversation and that you would help us to reflect your heart in all that we say when it comes to how to deal with conflict and people we don't get along well with. And I pray that you help us to be honest and authentic in our responses and just have a conversation that's edifying and useful, not only for us, but for those who are listening. In your name I've prayed, amen.
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 And as always, we start with a icebreaker. So as May is the month of mine and Mary Hannah's birthday. And what comes a birthday but cake? What are you guys' favorite cake flavors?
You guys should now answer first so that I can be writing down and placing orders accordingly.
I'm super boring, so I like vanilla stuff, but like we saw friends, all three of us saw some friends on Saturday. And one of them is a baker, and he made the most, I can't even remember all them things that was in it. It was like cookies and cream, hazelnut. It was like
Oreo. And then Kinder Bueno stuffing.
All I know is that it bust. It was so good. And like he.
Shout out to Osei Bakery.
Is that what it's actually called?
Yes.
Oh, big up him. It was so good.
Ronnie Osei.
So, so good. And he used this buttercream, which I tried for the first time like in Easter for my mom's birthday, called Swiss meringue buttercream clear. It's just so good. It's so good. Like it's not too sweet. It's just, it was perfect. So I like things of that nature, like a vanilla base, maybe with like a cookies and cream, a little Oreo situation. Keep it vanilla with the buttercream. You can hold that chocolate. I don't want no fruit in my cake. That's an abomination. Whoever puts fruit in a cake should be considered a felon. I don't make the rules.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because MH has an issue with any type of fruit in dessert, which normally I would support. The one exception is apple crumble.
I knew you were going to say this, apple crumble.
Yes. No, because I knew that this is the agenda that you were coming to put forth on this platform. So I had to stop it at the roots. Listen, it's not about the actual fruit. It's about the hot juice next to the fruit.
Gosh.
If you people don't have mature palates, just
say that. That's the worst thing ever. Because I just think about hot apple.
No, deep it. Like, apple crumble, yeah. Scoop out the apple chunks and just have the wet crumble.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Better than me.
Yeah, so what's the point of the apple in the first place?
Apple, exactly.
The apple creates the juice. Duh.
No. Immediately, no.
It's not like I'm here chewing on hot apples. Like, I'm not a
Well, you are, though. You are.
So you'd avoid apple crumble altogether just because of the apples.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a you.
I kind of like apple crumble sometimes. I have to be in the mood there. With, like, vanilla ice cream.
Yes, or custard.
Oh, custard. No. Custard is the worst.
You people don't know nice
guys,
things.
Y'all should not trust Winifa's taste buds because...
This is like drawing blood from a stone.
That,
like,
y'all go back to the episode, the Christmas episode or something like that. What she want to see?
Oh my days. If you people haven't tried Twiglets, just say that.
Some strange Christmas delicacy. Like, absolutely not.
I know you're not talking about taste buds because literally all you ate for 2 weeks straight was one crumble cookies every day.
I respect crumble cookie. Y'all should put some respect on crumble cookie's name, bro.
No, until your palate diversifies, don't chat to me about no palate. I am Faye, how about you?
I like a red velvet.
That's yummy.
Queen things.
How about you?
Same, actually. Red velvet is obviously clear, like red velvet. And there's this one place I think it has like a lot of branches, but there's one near me in Brixton called Eggless Cake Box.
Yeah.
And they make egg-free cakes.
I love
it. Oh, I've never had that.
They bang.
My mom told me it's so gross.
It's really good. No, it's so good. Like, you see how Ronnie's cake was really light and airy? Mm-hmm. The texture was just like, that's what Cake Box cakes are like.
Oh, period.
Yeah. That's the cake I got for my brother with his little face on it.
Aww.
As well. Yeah. My other, like, this isn't really like a birthday cake flavor, which I like because it's so controversial that it wouldn't be enough to feed a party of people. But I love carrot cake.
I like carrot cake as well.
Thank you, I am Faye. It's giving growth. It's giving development. Carrot cake is a grown and sexy flavor. The girls that get it, get it.
And I am not a girl that gets it. I don't get it at all. Guys, I just want everybody to deep, like, that sounds like something that came out of a World War II ration. Like, are there carrots in a cake? Like, I get the sentiment.
Now, what's wrong with World War II rations? World War II rations made custard pop.
Well, I hate custard, so that's that on that.
You lot are some haters. This is the Let's Hater podcast.
I just think cake should be simple. Confectionery should be simple. And if you're going to bring different flavors together, like, let it have some harmony. Like, I don't know, a carrot cake? Like, I get the sentiment, but it's like, why? You put carrots in a katsu. Why will it be in a cake?
You would be the sort to like katsu, wouldn't you? That's like such a random curry. It's because this girl will never eat a carrot in any other context.
I won't. They would make me vomit, honestly. What? A raw carrot? A raw?
Like, that's like a straight...
You're actually sick in the head. What does that mean?
No, like, the bite ache. Like, you know them little... When you were a kid, they'd have, like, carrot... Yes. Oh, my gosh. I will never eat that.
They're so good. Mm-mm. That's the best way to eat a carrot. Like, carrot, them, the adult ones are called carrot batons, darling.
Well, yes. You know what, y'all?
I love them.
I only eat broccoli and cauliflower. That's it.
Broccoli, cauliflower, and crumble cookie. That's MHS. Along with chicken tenders
and chip.
On occasion. Chip. But I guess that's the Snatchiana diet, y'all. If you see an MH body set good, something is working.
Oh, that was a nice icebreaker.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. But let us know your favorite type of cake. But getting into discussion, I don't know, what should be the first question? So... going on to the main topic of today, we're going to start with the basics. What does it mean to love your neighbor?
That's even a very loaded question.
That's even the simple one.
You know what? I think an important thing here is to ask, like, who is your neighbor? Because I feel like, as much as we might pay lip service to, like, oh, you know, everybody's my neighbor, like, we understand the sentiment of what Jesus was trying to say with that. It's kind of like, when it gets down to it, when push comes to shove, do you really feel that? Because it's kind of like, one thing about everybody, myself included, is if somebody has the misfortune of not being just like you, then you're not checking for them. Like, instantly we're drawn to care for people who... we most align to, whether that's because of how they look, because of race, because of different characteristics, because we like them. And so, like, even when it comes to, like, social causes, I guess, you'll always find me frontline on the BLM thing. But when it comes to other things, it's not that I don't care. It's just not my knee-jerk to ride out for them. So I feel like developing a really genuine understanding of who our neighbor is and why, and, like, looking beyond kind of outward things and superficial things in our own barometer of, like, who deserves love and whatever is important.
I would consider my neighbor to be anybody that is within the sphere of my somewhat everyday life. So for me now, that looks like my physical neighbors in my corridor at Cambridge, but it could also mean my porters. It could also mean the people I see at church. It could also mean my teachers or my classmates. Admittedly, one thing about me is
God.
I'm learning to be more neighborly, shall we say. Because it I'm the sort of person where, like, if you know me within a specific context, like, I'm going to be super extroverted and nice. But when it's like, when I'm in my home, if I eat, in first term, I would be going to the kitchen door to see if people were in there. And if I would hear, I would just take one step out of my room. If I saw people were in there, I would just starve because I'm not going to greet. Sorry. I'm not greeting anyone. So sorry. And it's not like I would ignore people on the road. I would never do that. It's just the fact where, like, I wasn't intentional in loving my neighbor. It was more just like, if when it's convenient, or better yet, when it's necessary. So if I'm in church and it's my role to be a student pastor and do that, I'm gonna do it. Or, you know, when it's like my friends or it's somebody's birthday party and, you know, you're supposed to be a kind person because that's the vibe. But it's like, in my own house, wow. Please don't come to my door. Please.
I would say my neighbor is, I guess, anyone that my life touches, whether that's like directly or like through social media. I guess we get like neighbors, even though but your life still touches people through other means as well. And I find it quite interesting that your neighbors can also, or people can also feel that they're your neighbors through other people. So, like, friends of friends and, like, people hearing of you and about you through other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my definition of a neighbor.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, like, is loving the neighbor then, since we've already defined what a neighbor is?
I think I sort of touched on that in my answer. I think it's being intentional. My pastor would call it being neighborly because that was what I was, that's the message they were on when I was in Atlanta. About what it means to be a good neighbor and, like, to love your neighbor. Yeah, to me, I think it was in being intentional, like, and not being, like, OTT about it. Like, my neighbors are not necessarily going to be my besties, and that's okay. But acknowledging them or being aware of the cognizant of the fact that God has placed me here for a reason, or that me being here is not by happenstance. And so what do I do with that? Like, you know, will I treat my physical location as a priority, or will I treat it as just a byproduct of me happening or me attending a specific university or being part of a specific social group? Yeah, so I think it's being intentional and just being, it doesn't, like, as I said, doesn't mean they have to be your best friend, but, like, I won't run away from the kitchen when someone is going in there. Like, I will greet, I will ask how they are. If I can be kind in a specific, like, tangible way, then I'll do that. Y'all are the good neighbors, so I'm trying to get tips from you, child.
A good neighbor. I don't know, I'm kind of struggling. Like, I'm realizing that I'm just not a very neighborly person in this moment.
I don't know. I feel like I'm being forced to be neighborly, I guess, because I get exposed to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the time. So I guess loving our neighbors, just getting to know people for who they are, and, like, not putting expectations on people. But I guess because I have quite limited time with, like, people I meet in the hospital, it's quite limited time. So, like, you get to know them, then hopefully, if it all goes well, they just be gone by the next day.
That's so true.
Like, gone home.
Anyway. Wait, what do you thought she meant? Like, they just bit the, what's it called? They kicked the bucket.
Like, what type of hospital is that where it all goes well and you're never to return? Gosh, I'm not being treated by you.
That's hilarious.
Guys, I feel like, do you know what it is? I feel like, we're talking about the easy one right now. I feel like loving your neighbor, that's fine, but what if you hate your neighbor?
Yeah.
What if your neighbor is actually your arch nemesis? Like, what if your neighbor has plans for evil, to harm you and not to do you well? Because, like, I was literally, like, it's really bad, but there's times where I refer to people, like, if someone does me wrong, I'll be like, oh yeah, this is my arch nemesis. And we'll be like, in fact, there was even this thing, MH and I were going somewhere and we were playing this game called Worst Case Scenario on the way there.
I told you guys.
Did we even play it? Did we actually play it?
I actually said it. I said it the week before. Anytime you
terrible things happen.
In Worst Case Scenario, we always joke around like, oh, who's the worst person you could see here? And like, you know, we were just like kicking about that. And it's kind of like, it's all fun and games and it's very easy to shade people, especially who have done you wrong. But it's kind of like, is that what we should be doing as Christians? I don't know immediately nerds. And I was actually in Sabbath school. MH was there as well. We were in Sabbath school this past week. And that message came for my throat. It really...
Yeah, it was from James 5, yes. Wasn't it? Was it James 5 or James 3?
Let me get up the passage. But it was really basically talking about the power of the tongue. And just a lot mm-hmm. of things in that chapter were just so convicting. And there was one part in particular, I'm trying to find the exact verse, but to paraphrase, it was like, with the same tongue, you praise God and you curse people who are made in the image of God. And then it talks about like, can one spring produce both salty water and fresh water? And can a fig tree bear olives? And can an olive branch bear figs? It's kind of like, you can't from the same source be spouting like these two completely contrary things. And that just really struck me.
Yeah.
Because when you think as well about the passage which says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it's kind of like, if we have one source, one heart, how can it be speaking these contrary things, you know? And I know that's kind of like the struggle of being a human being and being a Christian and whatever, is kind of like that internal dialogue, that internal battle. And the Bible does speak a lot about kind of praying to God to like unite your heart and everything. But for me, what it really made me reflect on was that, yeah, maybe the way I do speak about people and the way I'm so easy to like, you know, drag people, even if in my head I'm just like, oh, this is joking, is me realizing that that's a symptom of a divided heart. And that's something that I should really be praying for God to change in me, because I don't want to have a character that both serves God and then curses the people who I'm meant to be helping him reach, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That hearing that Sabbath school message, and on Sunday when IMF and I were at church here in Cambridge, they spoke about something similar about, in fact, I've got it in my notes here. Let me pull it up so I say it correctly. But essentially it was in the same vein of the James passage. It was, the point was live distinctly in speech. And I think, albeit jokingly, with our worst scenario games, as Winipa said, there is a truth to understanding, like, okay, even if this is quote-unquote the worst person that you could see for whatever reason, whether it's banter or something more profound, when push comes to shove, like, what will you do with that? Like, what is your posture towards that person? And if it is not, like, without trying to be, gosh, how do we say, inauthentic or disingenuous, I think there's something to be said about not allowing bitterness to cultivate in your heart in any case. I mean, we've spoken about this on the podcast for sure, like the dangers of like bitterness in your heart. But I think in all honesty, like when I don't really have beef with people. I really don't. So when I'm saying like this is the worst person I could see, it's just like because it's embarrassing for me. But even then, it's just like I should be able to, well, my prayer is that I'm able to have a completely resolved heart about things that have either gone on between me and a person in the past, conflict or whatever, so that when I see them, it can be genuinely all love. Or genuinely, like, all grace, or, you know, a certain, like, peaceful or Christ-like neutrality, opposed to me, like, running away or in like the function. Or, like,
with that bitterness. Like, that bitterness be, like, the foot that you step towards them with.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Because as the passage in James said, like, there's an analogy that James makes with the rudder of a ship. And he's just like, the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. And, like, the rudder of a ship directs the entire ship. So it's like, if my speech or if the way that I think about somebody up, like, in my mind and the way that comes out is a specific way, like, that's essentially what my entire life, like, internally, whether I'm seeing it or not, that's the way that I'm positioning my entire, like, heart and my entire mind towards a specific person. So I can't be like, oh, yes, I am loving and carry, you know, the loving nature of Christ. But when it comes to this person, it's on sight when I see you, or it's,
right,
you know, whatever it is. Because that's, as Winipa said, like, you can't have salty and sweet water coming from the... I sounded so salty British and then.
Sweet water. You can't sorry, have... Adele.
You can't have... Did she just see that in the back of Winipa's? Like a UFO.
Yeah.
I just thought, this is it. It's the second anyway. Coming now. Time is up.
Anyway, yeah, you can't have sweet and salty water coming from the same source. So that's what I think
and
about
also
that.
Just to bounce off that, like, the other thing I got from that analogy of the tongue being like a rudder, which has the power to steer a whole ship, even though it's so tiny, was kind of like the power that words can have. And like, I think we've all experienced it firsthand, like one little comment will just can literally spiral someone's entire existence. You know what I mean? And like, yeah. Once a word is out there, you can't take it back. And I think that just really made me reflect on like how intentional I am. And not only about like the things I say to people in terms of trying to be neighborly, but also the things that I don't say and when it's best to like withhold or stop myself from going off, you know what I mean? And like misdirecting something that in the moment seems so flippant and like frivolous, but can actually really have the power to like direct the course of somebody's day even. Mm. You know what I mean?
I don't really have beef with people, but
thank God.
No, but I feel like it's kind of like I have selective forgetfulness sometimes. So like sometimes it, like rather than beef, I just like forget things happen. But like, that's not always a good thing, because it's good to like approach conflict firsthand sometimes as well. But how would you deal with like someone that you dislike? Or that you don't get on with in a neighborly manner.
Yeah. Context. I'm trying to think of one that's been my life. I didn't like somebody and they were all up in my grill.
I can think of an example if you don't, if you can't think of it yourself.
Yeah. Can you really? Who? You don't have to say that. Well, you could just tell me and I'll be able to. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yes. Yeah. But that, okay. I can give that example. So I was like super cool with somebody, right before quarantine started, and we were like super good friends, through like the first couple months of quarantine. So we weren't living like obviously together, cause I was at home and they were at home, but like some things just happened that made me think you're not kind to me. I do not want to be friends with you anymore. And so, and we've mentioned this on the podcast, me personally, God is doing a work in me. Gentleness is on my vision board. And I pray that that is something that the Lord continues to cultivate in me. The thing is, I sound like I'm joking, but I'm really serious, guys. the spirit of gentleness, because I really don't have beef with people, because most of my friends are genuinely loving and respectful people most of the time. So when somebody says something to me that is rude, I'm like, immediately, no. You better fix your lips and speak to me correctly, or we're not going to talk. So it's like, delete number, block. I do my whole paragraph, and it's like, point blank, period. And then I wake up the next day, and the Holy Spirit's like, well, look what we have here. You know? And so that's the context when Winifa's talking about. So that sort of situation happened. Somebody said something that I thought was kind of out of order, and I was like, please don't make comments on my life that you see but don't understand. Like, are you crazy? no, but on a serious note, and then I had to honestly have humility to apologize. So one thing I think I learned from there is just like, if somebody, which I do now, if somebody says something to me that I think is unkind or rubs me the wrong way, I just feel like, especially if it's over text, I have no obligation to respond to you in this very moment.
Turn like, off them red receipts and it's take not time. That.
Oh, anybody who has
you're not a serious
on, like,
dud. You're not a serious dud.
No, but you have your red receipts on.
Oh, yes, you didn't know about it. No, to be fair, like
yeah, but it's happened to me
too. Randomly one time, and I said no. There's some messages that I need
just
to
for me as well.
On.
You do. So like, I literally have my I haven't had my red receipts on probably for maybe 7 years, as long as I've had an iPhone. Like. I just feel like, no. So yeah, I just feel like in that context, there's absolutely no reason for me to respond because I don't want to respond in a way right. that is harsh, one. And two, I just sometimes think like in the grand scheme of things, I mean, in that case, it's more somebody saying something that I think affronts my character, not somebody's actually coming for my life or my physical well-being. But I think in that case, I just have to shelf. I mean, yeah, you got to give your, I like to give myself space to be like, okay, that annoyed me. Let me just step away from that. But then also being like, okay, in the grand scheme of things, what matters more, me being right or me voicing my opinion or me showing God's love? And obviously the answer is the latter. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, it seems a bit superficial. But I think for me, most of the time, it's like 24 hours later, I don't care. 48 hours later, I don't care at all. Even if what they said was rude to me, because it's just like, you'll get over it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? That might also just be a byproduct of my personality in some regards. But I think if you give yourself time and pray into it, even if it's just in the moment, like, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need you to just get me all the way together. I think taking that time and space to not respond to somebody in the heat of the moment is important. And then on a wider note, just I remember I'm revealing all my vices. In first year, there was somebody, now the girls know who this person is. There was somebody that I just thought, you are insufferable. You're just absolutely insufferable. Don't worry, girls. I'll tell you who this is afterwards because y'all will understand. No. Sorry, we're motioning to each other. I was like, this person is insufferable. And I was like, God, Lee, like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And God had to get me all the way together. Like, babe, the same grace that I extend to you, you need to learn to extend that to other people. And I think that's something that, like, they weren't my enemy by any means. Like, they probably have no idea that I felt that type of way about them, to be honest. I hope they don't, because I hope I was being silly. But in any case, God just really had to get me together. Like, I give you new mercies every morning. You got to be able to do the same for other people. So that's my spiel done.
Wow.
But yeah, that's that. That's me on that.
That was beautiful. I'm not going to lie. It even reminded me of the end of Jonah as well. That whole thing. I know we've definitely spoke about it on the podcast before, but I think just like God's final message in that whole book being this idea of like, don't you realize that like I made and love every single one of my children, even if you don't. And I took time on them. And so it's kind of like, how dare you withhold my love from them? Like as if you're the one who put the time in. And like, yeah, I think just understanding like, even the person that, like who I may have been in the past, God has forgiven me for many things.
For sure.
And so it's like, who am I to withhold that same grace from other people? And it's much easier said than done. But like you said, MH, one thing I've really learned as I've grown up is like not to respond to things in the moment. So like even just recently, like this weekend, I had a bit of a tiff with someone in my family and like my immediate response was like, I don't really want to speak to you right now, so I'm going to hang up the phone, but like we'll talk about it later. And it was after I was able to like process and ruminate and like get my thoughts together in a way that was orderly and kind of like explaining my feelings without having to attack them in the process. I think that's the best thing to do to kind of address the sort of the hurt and not confuse that with who the person is that might have hurt you, because sometimes there can be a distinction there. I also, this is kind of an unrelated point, but my mind just like really went back to something that MH said on Saturday, and I was annoyed because she wouldn't put her hand up to speak in the actual Bible study. She was just she was just muted, and she said, I don't want to talk, I don't want to share the mercies that God has given me. But she was talking about holiness, and you know when we were talking about how only like one spring can't produce salty water and spring water, and she was like, I can't remember actually if you said it or Uncle Amos said it for chat, anyway, somebody said that you can't simultaneously be holy and unholy, because
Uncle Amos who said that.
Because to be holy means to be set apart, to be distinct, so how can you be set apart for a purpose and also not set apart for a purpose? And it's like, and then MH said that if you are being simultaneously holy and unholy, that means inevitably the holiness is a performance, because if you are set apart, you can't pretend to be not set apart, but if you're not set apart, you can definitely pretend to be set apart. And I just deeped my life My edges have not returned since. I just really I feel like if you really allow God in as an examiner on every part of your life, you just realize there's so many places where you fall short so naturally. Because if I even if I go off that same vein, talk less of gossip, you know what I mean? Or even just, you know what I mean? That's something that's so, so ingrained in society. I don't know a day where, especially if you have social media, where you can not kind of in some way interact with gossip or be talking about somebody or see somebody talking about something and form opinions in your head. And it's kind of is this what it means to be set apart? You know what I mean? To engage in these things of the world, which we kind of know are wrong. But I think separating yourself from all of that, it's a challenge for where does one begin? Sure.
I think one thing from the church service when the pastor was talking about being distinctive in speech, and he was talking about how gossip is so infiltrated into society, and just how we interact with people, and being someone who doesn't gossip or say bad things about people behind their back is living distinctively because it's so uncommon nowadays. Wow. And as obviously thing we work on, but
it's giving prayer points,
really
prayer and fasting. one thing about being around people that maybe you don't get along well with, or I guess don't really vibe with, is that just remembering that God made everyone's personality the way they are. Obviously, people are working on themselves, but sometimes I just get annoyed by people who talk too much and they just can't really help it. But it's just you're saying too many words. Please don't. But then I remember something I'm glad in terms of how my mum interacts with us and how we were raised up is that she really took time to understand our different personalities and then acts according to that. I think that's really helped me in interact with different people in all spheres of life, to really try to understand why they act certain ways or why they do certain things, so that I can react with the Holy Spirit's help with more patience and with more love, and just trying to understand people more. As always, working on it.
No, facts.
Yeah,
facts.
For sure.
Do y'all have much more to add?
I have a question. I was just going to say, I have a question. I think we've talked about what it means to be neighborly, talked about what it means to be in conflict with somebody. But I mean, are there any practical tools that you guys like to use when it comes to actually being with people face to face? Because I'm thinking me, I don't really have beef with people, so it's not that deep. But clearly when I go to work, there are going to be people that I'm perhaps just less inclined to gel with for whatever reason. And so I'm just thinking, what will be my response there? Because I don't think it'd be healthy to go home every day and be like, gosh darn it, I can't wait for you to leave or for me to leave because something ain't working.
Something's got to give. Or you work where I hope it works. Hopefully they'll be gone by the end of the day.
Gone, as in gone.
That's a very good question.
Because I'm just trying to think, it's okay for me over text and people that perhaps I don't have an obligation to interact with every day. But when it comes to that every day, you're my neighbor, but kind of my recovering nemesis.
Recovering.
How do we? Because we're no longer using such language, but it's it's still
in
also.
In principle.
We're not friends here. Or maybe that's something we can open up to y'all, the listeners. Please share below.
How do you deal with it? Because me personally, my strategy at the moment is just to curate my circle. I don't deal with the people that I don't gel with. And maybe that's not me being neighborly, because my neighbor isn't just the people that I naturally get along with. Or it shouldn't be.
Mm. Yeah. I think one thing, what I'm trying to think about, like, my responses to, what my responses to people have been in the past. And something that I think God has taught me is that, again, I'm showing all my vices, all the worst parts of me. So people who know me within one context are probably going to, you're in for a surprise. Anyway, I, in the past, have had a habit of, if I don't get along with somebody, you don't exist.
Yeah, it makes to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. When have y'all seen that? Have I done that? No,
only just because sometimes you'll be like, oh, like, You say, like, if I got beef with somebody, I see you in the street, it's airtime. I'm going to walk past, like, I don't even know you. Like,
yeah, that's so me. It's bad. Like, that's definitely been me in the past. It's just, like, I never saw
you. I never knew you.
Yeah.
I literally don't know who you are.
Not depart from me.
Never. And so one practical way, I feel like I'm reminding myself of the my own question. One practical way that I think was just like being like, okay, you can't ignore people. Those are still God's creation. Like, even if y'all are not going to greet, it doesn't have to be a, like, it's literally like, you don't exist. I didn't see you. And it's just like, that's not neighborly now, is it? You know, I don't have to even hug you or be like, hey, in a little like fake voice. But I can still acknowledge your presence. I can smile, you know.
It don't even need to be baby the full teeth smile. Steps. It can be that smile that old white people give black youths. That, you know, when they just press their lips. They just, you know what I'm saying? It can even be that one.
I wish we could show Winnie for space. But I want to know more tips to be more neighborly. Because acknowledging people is just a baby step, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. As we progress through this episode, I'm just realizing I'm a bad person, to be honest. Because me, I don't have solutions.
No, literally, same.
I feel like it's a personality thing as well.
Mm.
Do you think?
I think.
In what regard?
I feel like personally, I don't even know what anyone could do for me that could make me beef them enough to, like, actual beef.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily like actual beef. Like, I wouldn't consider that I have beef with anyone, but for sure there's like people who have upset me to the point where I just don't see it necessary to ever interact with them again. And not even on a thing of smoke where it's like, I hate you, I'm gonna, but it's like, there's people that have done stuff to me and I'm like, why would you do that? And why would I let you occupy the same space again? And I feel like, even though that's not, like, we're not fighting behind the bike sheds, but how am I interacting with that person? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or even just on a
I also
date.
Feel like I haven't... Yeah. Sorry. I was going to say, I also feel I haven't experienced that yet. So maybe that's
Oh, why. Fair.
And I was just going to say, like, even just on the day-to-day, like, at uni, at work, like, you're telling me you've never had a supervision partner who just irritated you, and you're just like, shut up, Ja, every time they talked.
No, they do. But then I'm like...
But it's like...
Can I have your notes?
Yeah. It's just, no, but, I think it's them little things, like, how do you actually...
Yeah. But this person...
We're showing all our vices tonight.
Let me not say too much. But this person in our course, he's, like, very keen. Like, ridiculously keen. And the type of keen is, like, you'll be the only person who goes there. And then you have to make it known that the other people chose not to be there, but you did.
They're an op, basically.
Yeah, they're an op.
No, basically.
But I've learned to, like, find the good in them. Which is that they can be keen by themselves, just as long as they don't mention my name.
I get it.
Yeah. But even then, I don't, like... It was annoying for, like, the first 3 months, but then I realised that, like, that's just how they are. And I'll pray for them.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said about time, like, on a serious note. I think sometimes we think that, like, oh, forgiveness or stuff like that comes instantaneously, mm-hmm. but I think it's like a continual thing. Mm. And I think also God is going to stretch that. Like, how will you really know you, like, for me this weekend when I saw my quote unquote worst nightmare to see. It's more like this person, we don't even have beef at all. Like, it's not even beef. It's just like, I'm not a serious person. So it's like, how do I know that my heart is healed or my heart is in a good place? And when I see them and how I respond to them is really how you're going to know. God's not going to be like, okay, forgive them now. And you don't ever have to see them again. It's going to be like, oh, you forgave them? Bet. Let's put them right. Even me,
I'm working on that one. I saw a picture of somebody that I don't particularly get along with on social media. And literally, like, I can't even explain the effect it had on me psychologically. I was just so, like, spun out. And I just kind of thought, like, no, this cannot be. Like, my heart is not healed from this. And that just, like, it was just kind of like a, well, it's not a propensity I have in myself to, like, bring about that healing. So I have to take it to the Father. Because he was really about that whole pray for those who persecute you vibe. Mm. Did he not die for those who persecuted him? So it's kind of like, I know that my well of forgiveness and my well of, I guess, healing and neighborliness is shallow, but thank God, because God is my strength. But I think being aware is step one.
And making acknowledgements.
So is I'm step already two. On step two. I know I'm a hater. I do.
Oh my gosh.
Shall we wrap up there?
Yeah.
Okay, good guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. As you can probably hear, this was one that was full of a lot of questions, maybe less tips, but, you know, we're all about sharing on this platform. So if you guys have any practical ways that you've dealt with conflict in the past or any advice on how to love your neighbors, even those that don't immediately seem neighborly towards you, then let us know so we can all grow together. As usual, you can follow us on our social media, Twitter, Instagram, even Facebook, if that's how you like to get down, at Let God Podcast. You can also send us episode ideas, dilemmas, requests through our anonymous Google form. And we are trying to be a lot more intentional about getting through those because the responses were piling up. So don't worry, we got you. We have seen, if we haven't answered yet, we're processing, we're praying, we're acknowledging. And I think that's it, isn't it? Is that so?
It is indeed. Oh, can I just put this as a caveat? We've been receiving a number of messages concerning us doing YouTube content. If you were unaware, we are at present not living in the same city. Very soon, we will not even be in the same country. So there's going to be a ginormous hiatus on the YouTube content, just as an FYI.
You book our Thank train you for all the well wishes. And plane
Sponsor
tickets.
Us. Speaking of which, because we've been slacking on that
Subscriptions
message.
Subscriptions in the detail. In the description box below.
So, you know, do as the spirit. No, I'm kidding. This is how the mouth Let God Podcast is prosperity gospel. Anyways,
no, y'all were kidding, but for real.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. We love and appreciate you all, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Lots of love. Bye.